This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to orderzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at orderzona.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today's subject is the microbiome, how to create and maintain a healthy microbiome. And I can't think of a better person to discuss this with than today's guest. She's a perennial visitor here on Intelligent Medicine. She's Marty Whittakin. She's a certified clinical nutritionist and author of The Probiotic Cure and Natural Alternatives to Nexium, Maalox, Tagamet, Prilosec, and other acid blockers. And her predictions in that book was written quite a few years ago have really been borne out in terms of our concerns about the negative effects of those medications. She's also recently produced a series of video classes on digestion, detoxification, and probiotics, and we'll want to hear more about that. She is the host of a long-running syndicated radio talk show, so absolutely nothing could go wrong during today's interview. We've got two experienced hosts talking to one another. So this will be great. Healthybynatureshow.com is her website. She has a great free e-newsletter that's a wonderful health resource for you. And she's been a national leader in the nutrition industry and an activist for health freedom. Marty joins us today to discuss how to create and maintain a healthy microbiome with probiotics, with a special view towards a product that she's fond of, and I am as well, Dr. Hira's probiotic. So welcome, Marty. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. And it's also great to have a doctor on because you can pronounce the names of all those drugs in my first book. It's it's a book that's designed for the newsstand, not for radio, the title. You, of course, did it beautifully.
Right. They just roll off my tongue because that's all they teach us about in med school, medications, not a lot about nutrition. So, Marty, you know, I just wanted to say to you that, you know, you're really on the mark when you've been talking about the microbiome. I think you were early as someone who caught on to its significance. I'm just scanning my archives here in terms of some of the stories that I've covered on my radio show about the microbiome, and I've given some lectures about it recently. And so, for example, headlines, microbiomes in the gut influence neurodegeneration. Here's another one. Could it be your gut keeping you awake at night? The impact on insomnia, cancer and the gut microbiota, eating disorders and the microbiome, because what, you know, what's in your gut shapes your appetite, and what you eat ultimately changes how the microbiome places demands on certain foods. Infant gut microbiome associated with cognition. Oh, that's pretty good, because probiotics may make our kids smarter. Exercise modifies the gut microbiota. The effect of stress on the microbiome. And on and on it goes. I mean, what is not... Oh, recently, we did an article on osteoarthritis and the influence of prebiotics on the severity of osteoarthritis, of knee pain. So, wow, you know, the microbiome is the buzzword for 2018.
Well, it is, and it's not like it hasn't been for all of the history of mankind an important part of our whole physiology and even our psychology. It's just involved in everything. It's just that our scientists have finally figured it out, and that it's connected. It's always been there, but it's just recently, and I think mainly because of the development of easy ways of identifying DNA that came from the human DNA project. And that, and then when they started doing that, they before had no idea how many bacteria there were because a lot of them couldn't be cultured. Mm-hmm. But then when they could start identifying them, they say, wow, why do we have thousands of different kinds of bacteria? What are they doing? And they started actually paying attention and doing fascinating experiments. And so now, one of the things that just blew me away when I was writing the probiotic cure was every journal in medicine and even medical science of any kind, every journal is writing about microbiome. So it's exactly what you were saying. Every topic, they figured out that there's a connection. So it's really a brave new world. At this point, we have maybe more questions than answers, but at least we're aware.
And you referenced these new tests that are available that check for DNA, which is really kind of cool because in the past we've had to rely on poop tests where basically they plated out the bacteria on petri dishes and they tried to tell us, okay, that's what's going on in your intestine. But we know that what survives and grows on a petri dish isn't necessarily representative of the balance of the myriad of bacteria that live in our intestines. And they leave traces in terms of their DNA. The DNA doesn't die. It doesn't have to grow or be cultured. It just comes out with your poop. And so we can do what's called high throughput analysis with these fantastic devices that screen for DNA and then characterize all the myriad species, and we can get a profile that either shows that you've got the right bacteria or you've got not enough of the good guys and too many of the bad guys. Pretty much it, right?
Yeah, and the way both some of these studies are done, they'll compare two groups, one with a health problem, one without, and then look for differences. Before, they couldn't do that because a lot of these bacteria don't like oxygen, and as you point out, they just don't respond at all the same in a dish full of some kind of gel as they do in a human being. And so they could say, well, gee, these people that are sick have a whole lot more of that and not enough of this. And it's pretty exciting that we can look forward to a time when maybe we can solve a lot of our health problems just by repairing the balance and the diversity in the gut.
You know, we're talking at a very high intellectual level here, you know, mustering the latest medical science. But on a more popular note, there's been some interesting happenings for Dr. Ahira's probiotics. On the culture note, because we know that the royals in the news today, in fact, there was a new royal brought into the world just today as we record this broadcast. In just a few weeks, another of the royals is going to get married to American Meghan Markle. And Meghan Markle is giving product placement to one of our favorite products, right?
Yes, this was just a real shock to the Dr. O'Hare's people because they did not pay for this. This was something that Meghan had voluntarily done, and I was aware of her because we followed the show Suits, but now I think probably everybody knows who she is because she's marrying Prince Harry. And so it came to light that a couple of years ago when she still had a blog, she did a little article about things that she never goes on a trip without, and it was common sense things like her favorite roller bag and so on.
Alcohol, and hand wipes.
There was Dr. O'Hara's.
Yep.
Yeah. And she said it just works. I mean, she drinks water and takes Dr. O'Hara's, and she stays healthy while she travels. And it was an unsolicited testimonial from somebody who then, it was just, you know, a little dab of Hollywood, but now that it's connected to royalty, I'm thrilled because some people will follow that lead before they would pay attention to all the fancy science that we're talking about.
Indeed.
At least they'll be doing the right thing, even if it's for the wrong reason.
Exactly. I mean, it's like right out of the tabloids. But, you know, we know that their dad, Prince Charles, is a big fan of integrative and natural medicine. He believes in homeopathy, and he's actually caught a lot of flack for that. So, you know, what we might say about this is, if you'll excuse the pun, it's a royal flush, right? Probiotics in Buckingham Palace, pretty good. Okay, folks, now let's take a moment to pause to allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with you. So here goes. Please listen up. Do you want to manage your blood pressure without medication? I have some exciting news about an effective non-drug treatment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, here to tell you about the Zona Plus. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks. To find out more, go to orderzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or orderzona.com. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company's offering you $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation, the Zona Plus, at orderzona.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Marty Wittekin. You were just out at Expo West in Anaheim last month, an event that I like to attend, but I wasn't able to get out there. So give us a report. Essential Formulas, the makers of Dr. Hira's probiotic, was out there, and they had, a great presentation about microbiome health. What's happening?
Well, this event is, it's kind of a beating because there are 85,000 people there, 3,500 booths. It just covers miles of walking if you want to see it, everything. And I was doing book signings there, so I got to talk to a lot of people also about their experience with Dr. O'Harris. But at the dinner where they presented the new box, they, I just thought it was really great because they were talking about what they have now found inside the capsules, something that's been, you and I have talked about before, the postbiotics, that the good bacteria eat the foods that we eat and turn it into magical substances. If, for example, if somebody eats acai berries or goji berries or some kind of food that has a reputation for being really healthful, it only is healthful after it's digested and the polyphenols or whatever the active substances are liberated, and that's often done by bacteria. Well, the Dr. O'Hara's box before was just this green block, and it had a whole lot of words on it, and it didn't really, for somebody going down the aisle trying to compare from one that was making some kind of outrageous number claims and so on, they had no idea why this one was so special. Well, now the box shows the foods that they feed these bacteria, and they have been busy for 3, or in the case of the professional, 5 years, taking all these wonderful foods and extracting the beneficial substances out of them, and those are in the capsule along with the remnants of the food and the bacteria. So there's just nothing else like it, and I'm just grateful now that the box tells more of that story.
Wait, so you're getting all three. You're getting pre in the, you know, the food residues that are present there. Which are these beneficial fibers that facilitate the growth of good bacteria. Actually, in that osteoarthritis study, it wasn't probiotics that helped. It was prebiotics. They used FOS, fructose oligosaccharides, which are a component of things, you know, the aforementioned foods, you know, indigestible fibers, which are actually our food for the bacteria. And then postbiotics, you know, I think that postbiotic concept answers what I've found is sort of a clinical conundrum, which is that I see patients, and I do testing sometimes pre and post, and I have patients, and I come in, you know, they come in, and I change their diet, I give them Dr. Ahira's, and what I notice is that the pre-test may reveal that they have a real deficiency of the good bacteria. They may not have any lactobacillus, which is not a good state of affairs. They may not have any bifidobacteria. In fact, I was quite shocked. I tested myself, and there's no lactobacillus, and yet I take Dr. Ahira's every day. But these patients report that they have a tremendous improvement in their digestive health. And so we may, in some ways, misconstrue the effects of probiotics, in my opinion. Some people think, well, they're there to make stuff grow and replace the bad bacteria, and that they're going to take seed all the time and, you know, proliferate in our gut. And I think there's some effect of their presence, or the presence of the byproducts that they make, that have a healing effect on the immune system, on the gut, perhaps on intestinal permeability. And maybe they take root, and maybe they don't show up in a subsequent stool test. What's your opinion on that?
Well, you're exactly right. These bacteria may have already done their work and passed on. Mm-hmm. And if inside, I mentioned that they found a lot of things inside this capsule. This is to give you an idea. It started with just 12 strains of bacteria, but in Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, and they feed them dozens of healthful foods over a period of years, everything from including herbs and vegetables and fruits and mushrooms and herbs and seaweeds and so on. And out of that, they ended up with over 400 substances that they had made, 35 or 36 amino acids. There were organic acids, saccharides, polyphenols, fats, nucleic acids, just a whole raft of signaling compounds and peptides of various kinds. That's where the rubber hits the road. And so what you want is to create a lot of those, and you do it with good bacteria, but by feeding them correctly. And I think that's why your folks, your patients, when you've changed their diet, are so much better, because they have also been feeding their microbiome, and so now they've got a whole different set of substances being created.
Mm-hmm. And it's also through the elimination of certain bad substances that we promote the microbiome. For example, GMOs, right, which may contain antibiotic residues, or I'm sorry, pesticide or herbicide residues, which actually kill off bacteria, or that they may stop filter their water and stop using chlorinated water, or that they may get away from antibiotic-laden meats or eggs or dairy products, or using chemicalized food like NutraSweet and Splenda, which has a corrosive effect on our microbiome.
These guys don't like chemicals. They like real, whole, clean food that hasn't been broken down and had all its important parts taken away. And I really think a lot of the studies around the world, when they say, oh, well, this is the healthy diet, it's because it feeds the microbiome what they need so that they can do all these hundreds of processes that they do in the body. And they don't like food additives of various kinds. They don't even like the emulsifiers in ice cream and so on. The list of things that damage them is pretty long. And you mentioned the prebiotic, the food for the bacteria, the FOS, FOS, the fructooligosaccharides, and the inulin. Those do tend to increase the bulk of bacteria, but they don't really create a diversity. And we want lots of different kinds of bacteria, lots of different kinds of food, so that we can make all these good things. And so I'm not a fan of relying on those. Mm-hmm. They're not harmful.
And I have to tell you clinically.
Gas.
Yeah, I have to tell you clinically. Precisely what you said is that some people you know, FOS is can be a two-edged sword. It can help people who, especially people who are constipated, but most people start taking FOS, they notice they have gas and bloating. And I tell them, keep taking it for a while and see if it abates. But for some people, it doesn't abate because there's another problem. It's not just not enough bacteria. Some people have SIBO. They have proliferation, overgrowth of bacteria, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. And FOS is absolutely the wrong thing to give them. It actually makes things worse.
Yes, it does. Because it's kind of an indiscriminate food. It feeds the bad guys and good guys and upper and lower and everywhere. But when we eat broccoli and we chew it up and it goes the normal path, when it gets to the intestines, the good bacteria like it and make something good out of it. And ordinarily, that's not going to be as damaging as, say, these refined powders would be.
You know, it's been said that the benefits of some of the herbs that we and functional foods that we prize may be due to their effect on the microbiome, because we tend to think of things like resveratrol as, well, you know, that goes in the bloodstream and it goes to the brain and it goes to the arteries, it goes to the heart, and it's beneficial. But actually, some studies suggest that resveratrol modifies the microbiome and has an effect on the microbiome. And I think there's several others like that that seem to have a microbiome altering effect. And therefore, another one is golden seal, or the berberine, which is in Oregon grapefruit and golden seal. It seems to modify the microbiome. And as even a medication, metformin, which is a popular diabetes medication, we thought it went directly to cells, but it seems to change the microbiome in some way that alters metabolism to combat diabetes and metabolic syndrome. So there's, and people notice it sometimes when they take metformin, they have a change in their bowel movements.
I think the time has come when we have to evaluate everything that we're putting in our mouth. We're really, our exercise, are we sitting too much? Everything we do, how is it affecting? Because the medications all affect the microbiome one way or another. Sometimes they're helpful, sometimes they're, for the most part, most of them are not helpful. And the herbs, have been found in many cases to be prebiotic. There's something that the bacteria like and make something special out of. So, I've found studies where unless you have the right bacteria, certain supposedly helpful substances don't do you any good.
Exactly.
Because you're not converting it.
Exactly. All right. This is a good point at which to pause because we divide these podcasts into two parts. But when we return, we're going to talk about some specifics, specific suggestions for improving your microbiome and maintaining a healthy microbiome. Our guest is Marty Wittekin. Marty Wittekin is an author, a radio host, and an advocate for integrative medicine, an expert on digestive problems and the microbiome. And when we return, more on this subject. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.